Welcome back to Hoops HD's ongoing championship week video notebooks, day number two. Day number two.
It is day. You got to remember, Chad, the first day is day zero.
Okay. Yes. We always start at zero when you count upwards. That's David logic. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by John Salica, David Griggs, Joby Fortson with us as well for this podcast. And what we are going to be doing this show is reviewing all the conference tournament action, previewing the conference tournament action that's coming up on Wednesday. We're going to be updating our survival board, a few other fun things. But before we start, we're going to start with a little bit of news and notes, especially now that we are no longer doing Hoops HD reports.
Yesterday.
No more going forward, David.
Oh.
Because we have got these shows instead.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, so, there's no reason to do the Hoops HD reports anymore. We've got the video note.
But we did just see a show.
Why don't we do some news and notes since we're not doing the Hoops HD report anymore?
Dave, why don't you just take over? I'm leaving. We just saw a really good game in the ACC here. Joby, Duke Wake Forest was not supposed to be a good game.
No.
But I saw a shot go up by Wake and go three quarters of the way down, and they won the game and stormed the court. No?
Yeah, I was furious with ESPN going, really? You're going to relegate a Florida State Virginia Tech game, which is excellent, outstanding game. And that even goes to overtime. Mm-hmm. You're going to relegate that to the U. And just because – and Zion's out. Why are you showing this blowout? Wow. It was a game of runs. Wake would go on a 10-0 run. Duke would come back with an 8-0 run. It was a lot of fun to watch. Sloppy at times, without a doubt. Duke did not put their best effort in. But then the final – yeah. So what happens? Wake's trying their best. They're not going to get – and then a sideline violation, almost like Louisville last year against Virginia, happens. My goodness, the White steps over the line, and while talking to Barrett, and they give it back to Wake. Wake has a final shot, and then Childers, who'd been hot all day, airballs it to a teammate. Ball bounces around, desperation shot misses, desperation shot again, and it bounces not once, not twice, not three times, not four times. Five times on the rim, rolls out as the horn is sounding. Oh,
five times in five different areas. Like,
yes.
Joby, let me ask you, though. White for Duke, all I seems to be is a guy that knows how to miss three-pointers and turn over the ball. Why is this guy getting so much playing time?
Because Kay, little known secret, Kay doesn't recruit depth. All these, that's what the problem with one and done. When you get all these guys going out, all these guys coming in next year, with Reddish, Williamson, and Barrett gone, they're gonna have to get a brand new group. They'll have Delorier maybe and some others, O'Connell, but they don't. The little sneaky secret about Duke is their depth is not very good. They do not have depth compared to a other type of one seed, and you saw it without Zion in.
And David, the other two other big games tonight that have already gone final as we record this, which is a little after 10 o'clock Eastern. Florida State was down 14, came storming back to get Vatek in overtime.
Yeah, nice win for the Noles. They've really been playing well lately. I think that's 10 out of 11 or 10 out of 12 or something. If I was actually good, I'd have that stat right in front of me, but I don't. But still, really, like, good latter or second half of conference play for Florida State. They're red hot. I've been having them as a protected seed the last couple of weeks just in my own personal bracket. I know that they were at home, but I still think that that's a protected seed caliber win.
And Stalika, the game right before we started recording this just went final. Minnesota, and real nice home win over Purdue, really helped their profile.
Yeah, I did say about a week ago, just winning at Wisconsin alone wasn't going to cut the mustard for the Gophers. So getting a win at home against Purdue is certainly going to help. And that's following up their win at Northwestern, which at least gives them another victory away from home. So the Gophers, not out of the woods yet, but definitely a big step forward tonight.
Stalika, I know you're not at home. What is that on the shelf behind you there? It looks like you're in some sort of air raid bunker.
No, this is the bracket bunker right here. It's not the puppet bunker. Right.
Yeah, well, just remind everybody, David Griggs is locked in the puppet bunker, by the way. David,
you said
how
we
is
weren't.
He?
No, we're yeah, unlocked.
David, you haven't been able to get out of there for 3 days. You should be locked in. Yeah. But a couple of games, real quickly, of note. Buffalo with a squeezed out a 3-point road win at Ohio to keep their streak going. VCU dominating win at George Mason by, I think they won by 36 and Mason only scored 35 points or vice versa. It was
It was 71-36, Chad.
Yeah.
Amazing. Good George Mason team too.
As we record this, a few other games going on. We're not gonna have a chance to discuss them because they won't go final. But Kansas is down big at Oklahoma, and Kentucky Ole Miss in a tight battle. As Alabama up 10 on Auburn as well as we record this. But check those scores in the morning when you're watching the podcast.
Yeah,
let's get to the important stuff, though, right?
Right, the knockout games.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead, and if we give me half a second here, I should be able to pull up some brackets on the screen. And if not, then I don't know here. How about the Big South tournament?
How about it? If we're just opening it up here, Longwood, interesting story. We were kind of excited about them, especially back in November and December, the start they had to the season. And they at times looked like they were going to be competitive in the Big South. The season, you know, being eliminated today, the first time Hampton. That was one of the better games of the night. Upstate Charleston Southern was exciting for a half. And then the 400 people that made the Charleston Southern's arena look full. I love that place. It is so tiny. They get into the semis, and I got to be honest, Presby Asheville, I watched maybe 30 seconds of it.
That's all that was worth watching. That game was over about 5 minutes into it. Asheville was had an awful season this year. Other than beating Upstate twice, which getting the 10 seed, they would have been would have been a serious contender for our Centenary Award for the worst team in D1. Stalica, day off tomorrow, but then we hit the quarterfinals now, and now the conference tournament gets serious, though. Today was just a little preview day, wasn't it?
A little bit of a preview, but by the same time, I would be very surprised if either of the big three of Campbell, Radford, and Winthrop were to lose early. So Gardner-Webb and High Point, kind of a pick'em in that game.
Right, and Joby also here. These three winners today, they don't really stand a chance on Thursday.
No, I mean, it's because I think the Big South has got some strength. I mean, obviously we talked Campbell and Radford. Winthrop's pretty good. Gardner-Webb dominated that Wake Forest team that almost beat Duketon. It'd be really interesting.
Good call, Gardner-Webb. Good call.
Like, yeah, they went to Furman, almost won. I mean, Gardner-Webb at times looked pretty good.
Yeah, I mean –
All right, let's two other conferences in action today. We also was first round or play-in day in the Patriot League, which should be coming up right here on the screen. And this is a conference where I kind of may want to pay attention to these two teams. We have seen Holy Cross do it before, and they, you know, out of the 9 or the 10 seed, tied for last place, out of the last place again, they go on the road and beat Lafayette. David, let me start with you. Can Holy Cross do it again? 4 road wins over the course of a week.
Well,
and a half
one
here.
Of the things you would say, they're going into Bucknell, who Bucknell was good all the way up until about 3 weeks ago, and then they just sort of went down in flames. So, you know, with Holy Cross coming in with a little bit of momentum, maybe, I don't know, we've seen them do it before, like you said, but this is a conference with a lot of parity, generally speaking. Although, well, the last 2 years it hasn't. Bucknell's pretty much run away from everybody else. But this year, I mean, you know, even a team like Navy, who finished fifth, looked really good at times. And Colgate, while they won the league, they didn't exactly dominate it.
And it is worth noting that Holy Cross was one of the teams that beat Bucknell towards the second half of February.
Yeah.
Joby, BU, the other winners tonight, do they have any shot over at Colgate after the win of the roof there?
Colgate, I feel like Colgate's really got it going on. I like these top three teams in this league. I think the top three teams in this league could be that miracle March Madness team, as this conference has shown in the past with Lehigh and Bucknell doing damage in the tournament. I don't see Colgate losing. I really don't. I think, unlike Bucknell, I think Colgate's playing pretty well right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. We had one other conference in action today. That was the Horizon League. the first two of its four quarterfinals saw Wright State. Now, David, I threw this stat out there on Twitter. I did a little double check this year. Last year, the one seed lost in the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
2 years ago, it lost the quarterfinals. 3 years ago was Valpo, who the format that year got a bye into the semis, but lost to Green Bay in that semifinal game. It has been 4 years since the one seed won a single game in the Horizon League tournament. This is ridiculous, but congratulations to the Raiders. They did it.
Yeah, and they avoid Illinois-Chicago, who beat them twice. So Wright State gets to wear white up in Detroit because they're the first-place team.
I knew that game was devastating for Valpo, but I didn't know it was devastating to the point where they would just leave the conference after that.
Yeah, they were pretty.
They were there one more year, but yeah, it was. Yeah.
They had that injury, too. You hated to see that.
The other game, it was a close game there, that Green Bay and UIC game. It was right up until the very end. So it's a nice win by Green Bay picking that up. I think they trailed a lot of that game, actually.
They did. Yeah, they were down for most of it.
But they go and play Wright State on Monday. But, Joby, tomorrow night, the other two quarterfinals, Detroit at NKU, and a really interesting Youngstown and Oakland game, I think.
Yeah, I think that, well, you know, the fact we're dealing with Detroit, you know, I'd still like to think the Norse are just simply the better team will do it, but that home court advantage is interesting.
Well, you got Antoine Davis, who was one of the top scorers in the nation for that Detroit team.
So yeah, you have those factors coming into play. And then remember, Oakland is just right around the corner there too. You know, in Oakland, I feel like gets a crowd going, whereas I don't know if Youngstown's going to – if the guys are going to drive the 4 hours from – 3 to 4 hours from Youngstown to actually go for a quarter or for a quarterfinal. I got to think Oakland is going to have it tomorrow, but, you know, maybe those Penguins can – show some.
I would say the good news, at least as far as Wright State goes, they won't have to worry about Illinois-Chicago after getting swept by them during the regular season. They did manage a split against Green Bay, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Green Bay, a team that has shown some life over time. This team beat Belmont during the regular season, so Wright State better watch out for that Monday night up in Detroit.
Yeah.
David, we got two other conferences to start tomorrow night, and we got to start with our favorite conference here at Hoops
HD.
Yes,
we do.
It is quarterfinal day in the Northeast Conference.
It is. And, Chad, you might remember this. We ran a poll on Twitter. What sporting event was bigger, the Super Bowl or this tournament? And unanimously, it was voted that it was this tournament.
This tournament was unanimously.
This tournament, bigger deal than the Super Bowl. I mean,
all two people that voted for this tournament. That's all.
Yes.
I gotta
say. I mean, the voting was restricted. I mean, you just didn't want anybody to be able to vote. I only tagged certain people that I thought would contribute, but it was unanimous among everybody that voted. This tournament was bigger.
Games tomorrow night. Bryant, the 8 seed, is at St. Francis, Pennsylvania. Robert Morris, the 4 seed, hosting St. Francis, Brooklyn. Wagner, who was very good early this season, fell apart late at Fairleigh Dickinson, who actually tied SFPA for the regular season title. LIU Brooklyn at a Sacred Heart team, who's had one of their best seasons ever this year.
Right.
Let's start with Sleek. Let me start with you. Any upsets tomorrow in terms of the road teams winning?
If I were to pick any upset, I'd probably go with defending champion LIU Brooklyn, but I certainly wouldn't be picking St. Francis against a perennial favorite like Robert Morris, for example.
It's interesting. A couple of good storylines here. St. Francis PA, I don't remember the last time they were in the tournament, but it's been a while. They're typically good. I don't remember the last time they even finished first, so one of their better teams in a while. But this league, as it always does every year, kind of seesawed up and down. SFPA had been in first place. St. Francis Brooklyn was in first place for a while. Robert Morris was in first place for a while. Wagner, as you said, I don't know if they were ever on the top of the league, although I think they were.
Very early. They
was up there for a week. So all of these teams sort of fluctuated, and there isn't a whole lot of difference between 1 and 7 here. There really isn't.
The exact year, but I think it was the early 90s, the last time St. Francis PA made it, and that was when notable coach Jim Barron Sr. was actually the head coach for the Red Flash.
Yep, John, thanks. That was the 1991 NCAA tournament. In fact, this is the first time they've won or tied for the NEC regular season crown since that 91 year.
The good news is the conference can already write the ticket for the champion. That, you know, go ahead and buy the plane ticket to Dayton.
Yeah, I think you're right on that, Joby. Short of some really bad teams.
Yeah, even St. Francis, PA. PA. I mean, like, you know, we talked about it yesterday. Would IUPUI maybe get out of Dayton before St. Francis, PA? Maybe. I mean, you know, that shows how extreme it is.
I'll tell you what. Let's go through each of you here with a pick to win this conference tournament. I'm going to start with myself here. And although I think there's going to be some great games, this conference is so much fun, I'm actually going to go with the one seed. I'm going to go with SFPA to win it. They have, every time they've ever tied for the conference regular season championship, they've won the conference tournament in their history. So only once. But David?
I'm going to go with Sacred Heart.
Nice pick. Well, never been to the big dance.
Yeah.
Joby.
Yeah, I'm going with you, Chad. I know chalk is boring, but I think St. Francis PA is better than STFU. You know, that's Stephen F. Austin. Sorry.
SFU.
One of the things, like, if it unfolds, I think SFPA is going to have some trouble with Robert Morris. Mm-hmm. And Sacred Heart might get to host this championship game.
Well, you got to remember, there is reseeding here. So if there's an upset in this 7-2 or the 6-3 game, SFPA, Robert Morris may not be until the finals. But
And Sacred Heart doesn't have much of a – I guess it's a bandbox sort of thing, but I don't think of Sacred Heart as having that intensity, willing to just – go nuts fan base, like a Robert Morris, for instance.
Well, we'll be able to set Zach on location for that.
Good for Zach.
But Sleek, Sleek
will make it fun. It's Greenwich. I mean, Sacred Heart's essentially Greenwich.
Sleek, you got to pick
going,
to win this.
Oh, if he's going to the game, we've got to do something.
Okay, David, we really got to get Sleek's pick in and keep moving.
I think it's fair to say that this is rarely a conference where chalk holds, so I'm going to go with Robert Morris to win the NEC here.
All right. Let's take a look at one other conference that starts tomorrow. It is first round day in the Ohio Valley Conference. A pair of games that do not involve Belmont, Murray State, not even Austin Peay, Jacksonville State. Now we've got SEU Edwardsville in their second ever OVC tournament against Moorhead, Tennessee Martin against Eastern Illinois. Games that should have absolutely no meaning after Thursday's quarterfinal action. But let's go with two questions here. First of all, Sleek, let me start with you this time. Any upsets in either of these two games in terms of the seeding? And number two, who wins this entire event?
It wouldn't shock me if SIU Edwardsville actually pulled off an upset, because Moorhead has actually been missing one of their key players, Lamontre Harris, for the past couple games. But even then, I still see a team like Belmont. They don't have quite the star power of John Morant for Murray State, but I think they have the more complete team, so I'll go with the Bruins to come out of the OVC.
I actually agree with you. I think Edwardsville does pull the upset. I think Eastern Illinois, Tennessee Martin's a coin flip. I'm going to go with Murray State over Belmont in the final, though. I just think that I just got a feeling about them. I don't know. Joby, how about you?
I think that I'm going to go with Stalika and say Belmont. It's going to – but the one element of chalk, I think, that changes. I think this is very chalky, especially, hey, you have a ladder that leads to that. But I think Jacksonville State has a real shot against the roadshow that is John Moran.
Yeah, especially given who their head coach is, David.
Yeah. And Jack State waxed them, albeit at home earlier in the year. Belmont went to Murray and won. Murray is really good, but they haven't always blasted teams. Like, they sweated out Austin Peay on their home court recently. I agree with Stalika that Belmont's the more complete team. I've got a third question. If Murray State does win this tournament and beats Belmont, is Belmont we all know they're on the bubble. Are they in side or outside of it on Selection Sunday?
I personally think that there'll probably be enough bids stolen from various conferences that they're probably going to end up on the outside looking in, but I think it's a very good argument to make. Joby, I don't know what you think.
No, I think they're on the outside for the mere fact that They really need – let's see how Lipscomb does. I know that sounds funny because there is a transitive property. They swept Lipscomb. That's a big deal. Lipscomb's being hurt by the lack of TCU performance because TCU's slipping out. I know that this is that domino effect that I talk about on podcasts from time to time. Belmont's been hurt by that. They don't have really a good quality win, and Murray State's not it. Murray State, if they win, if they lose, I think we all agree Murray State's an NIT team.
Right. Another thing that hurt Belmont was, and you just never know what you're watching, earlier in the year, I think it was Green Bay that beat them, and then but you're still feeling pretty good about them based on
everything. Yeah, they're a good team.
12 five, but the two losses to Jackson. The 5 seed
that gets them is not going to be happy.
Yeah,
and I know it's not, you know, none of you are watching this live, and all the games are going to have gone final. But take a look at what does happen in the final score in the tonight's Colorado State Utah State game. Utah State is actually in a 1-point game late as we record this. Should they lose this game to Colorado State, that may open up a spot for somebody because that is a team right there on the bubble that's struggling this evening.
Well, and Auburn's come back from the dead to take a 4-point lead. So
now, to answer some of your earlier questions, the only three teams that have actually beaten Belmont this year were Jack State twice, at Green Bay, at Purdue. They did win at UCLA and Western Kentucky, but unfortunately both of those teams have underperformed this year.
All right. Let's move over to our survival board now, and Salika, let me ask you this. Can you explain to everybody what this survival board is? It's right up there on the website. There's also a conference tournament tab where you can see all these brackets we've just been looking at. But the survival board's up there. If you click on it, what are we looking at here?
Well, we have four groups of teams. Now, one of them we haven't filled out yet because we don't have any conference tournament champions yet. So they will eventually be bold in all caps. But the second category is teams that are currently in bold that are going to be making the tournament no matter what happens between now and Selection Sunday. The third group of teams is teams in italics that still will be considered. They do have a pathway, but if you're in a regular font, you lose, you're done.
All right. And Dave, we have confirmed that the selection committee has availability to access this in the in the room.
Yeah, because they have internet. They can come right on here and access this board so they know what they need to be doing.
Okay. Now, heading into the day, you can see here there were 8 teams still alive in the Horizon League, for example, and there were a total of 331 teams available with a chance to win the national championship.
They're still playing. And they get to play until somebody beats them.
So let's see what happened as a result of tonight's games.
Okay. Oh, we're down to 324,
324. So you look again, we mentioned the Horizon League there. Let's scroll down to them. Only 6 teams left. UIC, IUPUI, no longer available to win.
Right, and they weren't in italics, so they came off. Now, had they been in italics, they would not have been removed. Is that right?
That is correct. So
they would not have been removed.
So we have, for example, Belmont in italics. When they play, they don't play tomorrow night, even though the overseas starts. Yeah. When they play, if they lose, they're not necessarily coming off of that board.
Right, yeah.
All right. I guess on that note, David, I want to address something with you, actually. Last night, you did something that, you know, as I thought about it, which just made no sense whatsoever.
What are you talking about?
Well, you sent a tweet out to try to solve the problem of what was going on with the potential for quarters coming
into basketball. Yeah, we don't want quarters. I don't see why that doesn't make any sense.
But you tweeted to Willie Nelson.
Well, he's a singer-songwriter. He could, you know, maybe write a song about it.
Now, Dave, we've decided that we're going to solve the problems in college basketball, but we got to get these problems solved by people who can do things.
Willie Nelson can't do things?
I don't think he could do anything in college basketball. What does he have to do with college basketball?
You know, well, he did. Now that you mention it, Chad, I hate to admit it, but he did not respond to my tweet.
Well, David,
maybe I should have reached out to someone else.
We were discussing the Horizon League tonight. I think it is atrocious that they're playing these games in Detroit. They should be playing them on campus sites where they belong. And I decided that we need to reach out to somebody that can get things fixed.
Yeah, I agree with this. Like, you know, these under the radar conferences, you know, they don't have the budgets. They don't have, and it isn't, first of all, most importantly, it just isn't fair to the team that had the best season. They deserve to play at home. The regular season should feed into it to give them the best chance. I agree with this.
Okay. So I want to give somebody who could actually get things done, fix this problem. So okay. There we are. Kim Kardashian West.
Wait a minute, Chad.
Wright State won tonight and is the one seed, but now has to go to Detroit for the rest of the Horizon League tournament. This tourney should be on campus sites. You can fix anything. Please fix this.
Chet, what? You're tweeting to Kim Kardashian West.
Yeah, she's going to fix the problems.
How is she going to fix the problem?
Well, what else does she do?
That's a good point. Well, yeah, what does she do? Like, what does, like, if she were to submit a resume, what would be on it?
Fixing the Horizon League.
What employable skills does she have?
It has been tweeted.
Maybe Kim, Kylie Jenner, who just became the youngest billionaire ever, could hire.
There we go. Well, Kim, we'll be waiting for Kim's response now. Kim, help us out. Fix the Horizon League. You know you can do it.
Oh, wow.
On that note, let's go to any final thoughts for the evening. Joby, let me start with you.
Yeah, Utah State and Colorado State are still tied. Every time I pay attention to this team, they stink. They still stink. I'm sorry. They're not NCAA caliber worthy. I do not care if I am called nasty names by their fans, because their fans have shown that they are not nice people anyway.
You may get thrown into a fire extinguisher as well, so you better be careful.
Oh, boy.
Stalika.
So far tonight for teams like Minnesota and Oklahoma, it's shaping up to be a good night, not just because of taking care of their own business against Purdue and Kansas respectively, but they also got some help from Butler tonight, who did cool off a red-hot Xavier team and ended the Musketeers' five-game winning streak. So Xavier looking more and more like they'll probably have to win the Big East tournament to get an NCAA bid themselves right now.
Yeah, good point. It was a Xavier team that I thought they picked up this win would have been seriously under consideration, but they had no room for error. It's not bad to lose to Butler. It's bad when you have all those other bad things on your profile. You
certainly cannot lose to the Johnnies at home this weekend. I will say that.
I don't think it matters.
I think they can lose to the Johnnies because I think they need to win three games to get in the NCAA tournament. This game this weekend is not one of those three.
No, I still say that because you don't want to wind up in the first four on Wednesday, because that would make the path even harder, because then you're facing either Marquette or Villanova, who's going to be rested come Thursday.
And I'd be wrong. You would need four wins in that case. So you are that you do make it right. That is a little bit correct there. David, why don't you finish us off tonight, though?
Just another really big night, both not so much the conference tournaments, but a lot of teams that really needed wins getting them. Minnesota, I think, that kind of lands them in there. Oklahoma as well, if they're able to hold on. And, another big development is Utah State just going to completely sink what they did for themselves over the weekend, because Colorado State is as bad as Joby says Utah State is.
They are. Quickly, Tennessee also is up 20 points on Mississippi State at home right now. The game is close at halftime. A really, really impressive performance by Tennessee tonight over a good Mississippi State.
They want that one seed. I mean, they really do. Right?
They can get it.
Yeah. I don't. Well, they need LSU to lose to get it. So it's
well. No, the one. I thought you meant the overall one.
I mean,
they are a one seed in my book right now. If they do continue to do to Mississippi State what they're doing,
yeah, I agree with you on that one.
The tournament will play itself out a little bit, but Tennessee's doing the job.
Well, I guess on that note, I do want to thank everyone for joining us. We'll be back again tomorrow night, even later than this podcast tonight, when all the games are over, for another Championship Week video notebook. And every night from then on, I believe that David needs a little bit of help in the puppet bunker. So if you have extra food, please send it to him.
Just let me out of here. Like, I've talked to Joe Lenardi. He's not in an actual bunker. He's in a studio. He actually goes home at night.
I don't know. Like, I think he's in a bunker, David. You gotta.
If he wants to go out to lunch, he can.
We'll find about. We'll think about getting you lunch tomorrow. But on that note, on behalf of Joby Fortson, John Stalika, the puppet, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again tomorrow night.